Thanks for joining in today on WPR News. We're going to turn to scammers for a minute with you, or a few minutes. They often attempt to defraud vulnerable people, just individuals, of their money and their personal information, but they can also deceive large companies or institutions and even mission-driven nonprofit organizations. And I'm going to deal with that a little bit and talk about the scams more in general with our two guests. One of them is Eric Sponholz. Eric is executive director of Literacy Green Bay, recently target of a fake check scam. Eric, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining in today.
Thanks for having me, Larry. Appreciate it.
Also joining us today and with me in the studio, Tiffany Bernhard-Schultz, the Better Business Bureau's Southwest Wisconsin Regional Director, who's been seeing this kind of attempted fraud before, I am sure. Tiffany, welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me today.
As we talk with our two guests, want to hear from you. Have you been the victim of a fake check scam? Would you like to know how to identify one if maybe you got something to that effect? Give us a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Eric, first, just tell us a little bit about Literacy Green Bay.
Sure. So we've been around the Green Bay community and the Brown County community for just over 43 years. We have two primary focuses. One is our ELL classes, or English language learner classes. Over the course of a year, we serve around 600 students. And then in our tutoring program, we work one-on-one with folks who are looking to, you know, gain a better mastery of the English language. And it can be for a multitude of different reasons: finding a better job, or reading to their kids at home, or anything like that. So we have about 115 one-on-one tutoring pairs right now, in where we utilize volunteers to work with those students and really get them to where they want to get to. They help with GED prep, or, you know, different types of things, digital literacy that way as well. So we're really in the business of adult education and trying to make sure that these folks, and we've seen a real influx in Brown County and in the Green Bay area of, you know, refugees, whether it be Haitian, Ukrainian, you know, those types of folks that are just looking for the help. And we're trying to provide that service as best we can for them.
Yeah, and doing a pretty good job of it, too. And here, your nonprofit recently received an email from someone wanting to donate $2,000. What about that email, and what raised red flags?
Yeah, it really all started innocently enough, Larry. I, you know, obviously when a nonprofit gets any type of email or any type of correspondence from someone who wants to donate, the excitement raises a little bit. They are aware of the mission. They're aware of what we're doing and the service that we're providing. So you obviously you get a little bit excited. So as we were going through some of the correspondence with this person, and they, you know, were just very, very nice and very straightforward. You know, we believe in the mission. We want to be able to help how we can. And then we saw that check come across for the $2,000. So when we received the check, in the meantime, I had done a little bit of research online and seen some other organizations, not necessarily in Wisconsin, but across the country, that were part of this scam. And it mentioned some specific names that people were reaching out with and things like that. So I began to get a little suspicious that way. And then I saw the check. It wasn't necessarily a check you'd look at and go, wow, this looks legit. They're just the watermarks and just the way it looked, it gave me an uneasy feeling. And then after that, we received that check. And before we really did anything with it, the person who was identified in the email as Jeffrey Haynes, they had come back and said, oh, there was an issue on their end. Their financial advisor, you know, had some issues, and we were supposed to send the check back and do all of those types of things. So from there, it really started to raise those red flags. There were misspellings here and there. Advisor was spelled with an E instead of an O. Just some of those things that if you didn't really look at it at first, it would give off the idea that, you know, these were legit people. But once you kind of read it a little bit more closely, it was some of those things that just left us a little bit uneasy. So long story short, we took that check to the bank and alerted our financial institution that there was a potential for fraud there. Interestingly enough, in the Green Bay area, they had made mention of the fact that they hadn't really seen this up in this area yet. But obviously, going through my research and things like that, it had been happening in other places as well. So we were fortunate to not have to pay that money back, and then in some cases, pay back more. Or what we're finding with other nonprofits is they deposited that check and they already spent the money. So they're not only out that additional money, but they're out the money that they put towards their programs that are serving other people. So just really disheartening. You know, I've been in nonprofit now for over 20 years, and I've never been privy to something like this. But at the same time, just understanding how someone could be a part of this and take the time to be able to do this for a mission-driven organization is really, really disheartening, and it's just disappointing.
Yeah, it is indeed. Tiffany, let's turn to you. You're with the Better Business Bureau in Southwest Wisconsin. Is this a common thing that you're seeing, or how common are the fake check scams?
We see scams come and go. What's old is new again, maybe in a different version. And we do have reports of fake check scams, and you can find them on bbb.org/scam tracker. All of that information is completely public. And a fake check scam is exactly it, as what was described. And what's unfortunate is that scammers just are not out to scam individuals, but they're also out to target businesses. They're out to target nonprofit organizations. Every single one of us is vulnerable. I'm vulnerable. You're vulnerable. A nonprofit is vulnerable. A business is vulnerable. So we really need to be on the lookout. And in this case, there were a lot of red flags. And there usually are a lot of red flags, but people receive this money. And, you know, those things can be easily missed. The misspellings, the place that it was mailed from. And normally what happens is that it's drawn for an amount that's more than promised. So in this case, it could have been $4,000. And the person who sent it is contacted saying, hey, you know, you sent us more than we anticipated. And they might say, send us back the rest in gift cards or by wire transfer. And in that case, the check bounces and you're also out the amount of money that you've sent back to them, whether it's wire transfer, gift cards, or any form of payment. So that's usually how these things work. But there's always different versions of this type of scam popping up, too.
Maybe it'd be worth it to talk for a minute, and we'll come back. I want to get back to Eric, too, but talk about the Better Business Bureau itself.
So at the BBB, we facilitate an ethical marketplace where buyers and sellers trust each other. We want you to do your homework on a company before you do business with them, not after the fact. You can head on over to bbb.org, and you can look up both accredited and non-accredited businesses. Those accredited businesses meet our 8 standards of trust, and those businesses have been background checked. We've done our homework on the company. If the company needs to be licensed, they hold the proper licensing. When you're using a non-accredited business, even though you can find them on bbb.org, they have not gone through that background check. They have not pledged our 8 standards of trust. You're really on your own to do your homework on them on your own versus us doing the homework for you.
Okay, but a good resource there for pretty much anybody, I would think.
Right, and that's for for-profit businesses. Now, BBB also has a charity handle at give.org, and you can check out charities that meet our 20 standards of charity accountability.
And Literacy Green Bay probably falls within that category. Eric, from your point of view, why are nonprofits being targeted with scams like these?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, to be blunt, I think it's the fact that people have too much time on their hands. If I'm being blunt about it, but I think, you know, obviously, the way of the world now, you know, you'd like to say that everyone is out to make a quick buck or something like that. And I just guess from a nonprofit, when I put my nonprofit lens on in my professional career, just the idea that people are trying to identify ways to essentially take or steal or whatever word you want to use from nonprofits that are serving all different types of clients. It might just not be adult education. It could be youth serving organizations. It could be animal, you know, people who are serving animals, or we have a number of, you know, the Humane Society up here, or Happily Ever After, which is a no-kill animal shelter. You know, places like that that could be privy to these types of things. And it doesn't necessarily matter whether or not it's a small or large nonprofit. I think what maintains through all of this is the idea that it could happen to anyone. So I think in our case, through Literacy Green Bay, especially in my position, and then also one of my other colleagues' positions, we hadn't been with the organization for a long time. I think between the two of us, the correspondents, we had been there for about a year combined. So maybe this person had researched that and thought that, you know, that was a prime target because we didn't know what we didn't know yet. So that might have factored in too. But again, it comes back to, from a nonprofit perspective, I know you see this in for-profit companies and things like that, and you get phone calls about it in your during dinner time at home and things along those lines. But how someone can, or some people can do that and affect nonprofits when really all they're trying to do at the end of the day is provide these services to people who could really utilize them. Like I said, it's really disappointing. It's really disheartening. And it just speaks to, we have to be vigilant and continue to be vigilant on our end to be able to identify these things when they happen and make sure we call them out and deal with them effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. Tiffany, Better Business Bureau seen instances here in the state of this actually working?
Can you?
The check type scam? I mean, are there times when it's worked here in Wisconsin and people have lost money?
Oh, absolutely. Every day. A lot of these scams originate from overseas. And it's really unfortunate because the scammers are targeting unsuspecting victims in different versions of scams. So there was a time when, and there still is a time, where individuals receive these fake checks in the mail and go ahead and cash them, and then the scammer reaches out, or the person who receives the check reaches out and says, you paid me more than you should have. These types of scams have happened when consumers are selling merchandise over Marketplace or eBay or any of those other virtual selling platforms. We really have to be careful, and we have to be questioning things and doing our homework. So this may have originated from overseas. It may be domestic. We really don't know. But scams are a billions and billions and billions of dollar business. They're always looking to scam you in different ways.
Yeah. Talking today with Eric Sponholz, Executive Director of Literacy Green Bay, and Tiffany Bernhard-Schultz, who is the Better Business Bureau's Southwest Wisconsin regional director, about scams. And of course, Eric, smart enough and diligent enough to catch a potential scam, and hoping you'll join in with your own thoughts on scams, this scam or others. Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at scams today, and we've zeroed in on an attempted scam at Literacy Green Bay. Eric Sponholz, our guest, Executive Director of Literacy Green Bay. With us as well, Tiffany Bernhard-Schultz, Better Business Bureau Southwest Wisconsin's Regional Director. And questions or comments or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Tiffany, this one's for you. An emailer wonders, any stories of scammers being caught and actually brought to any kind of justice?
We do have a full-time investigator on our staff at BBB Wisconsin, and your report is so important. We have a great tool out there. It's called bbb.org/scamtracker, we want you to report these scams that you have experienced, and we want you to look up the scams that are taking place in your area. And that scam tracker tool is a great tool to do that. But when you report a scam to us, we look for patterns in the scams. And what that gives us is the opportunity to take the reports that you give us and follow up on the ones that do warrant an investigation on them. And there have been several cases of different types of scams that have been brought to justice, and the domestic scammer has been caught. So our full-time investigator works really hard on that. And, you know, you're not just reporting a scam to our scam tracker tool. It is being looked at. And if it does warrant an investigation, we're able to turn that our investigation over to the authorities who can prosecute.
I'm just thinking about this, Eric. I want to go back to you for a minute. The fact that you caught it is great, but there's also a worry that people hearing about this attempted defraud of Literacy Green Bay might be maybe disinclined to donate money to the organization. As I'm sure that thought's crossed your mind.
It has. Obviously you want to continue to be good stewards of the dollars that you receive and make sure that people are aware of still the good things that we're doing and the programs that we're administering at Literacy Green Bay. So, yeah, that thought has crossed my mind. I think for us, timing-wise, the timing, obviously is never good for something like this to happen, but we were able to catch it. And I think we have a strong enough system or strong enough policies in place, especially in the Green Bay area. It'd be different, I think, for an organization that maybe is just volunteer led or volunteer run, that maybe has only been around for a handful of years, that people may look at that as kind of a deterrent in how some of those funds are utilized. But for us, it's important that we've been around and have had good standing in the Green Bay area and Brown County for over 40 years. So we haven't necessarily seen anything like that yet. I mean, obviously, we want to make sure that we continue to communicate with our donors, our corporate supporters, our stakeholders, all of the wonderful types of things that we're doing with the dollars that we receive, whether it's helping get matched with a tutor or filling up our ELL programs. We have 150 students on our waiting list right now. So I think for us, it's just the idea of being able to, again, go back to what I said earlier, being good stewards of the dollars that we receive and making sure that we're continuing to live out our mission each and every day. And if we can do that effectively, I think the donors and the people who want to support Literacy Green Bay will be able to continue to do that.
Yeah, and you use a donation management platform, do you not, that people can go to? And
we do, yeah. It's right on our website, literacygreenbay.org, and it's right on our homepage. We work with a customer relations platform that vets everything out and makes sure that it comes through our system and we're able to see it, and we can take the necessary steps if something looks a little strange, or be able to follow up with that particular person should they be interested in donating. So we have some things on the back end and some policies in place that we're able to try to vet all of those different types of things.
Janet in Janesville has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Janet.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, it's just hilarious that I was listening at this point. We got the same kind of deal that came through. We also saw the red flags, and Jeffrey Haynes was the name on the email. We called Jeffrey Haynes. We looked it up because we thought this looked bogus. And he's an attorney in Madison, I believe. And he just said, yeah, this is the second call he'd gotten. And he has nothing to do with it. So we just didn't answer the email anymore. And then we got a check that was totally different than the name provided on the email. But it looked like it might be connected somehow. We didn't know how to follow up, so we just posited the check, just let it sit and see how it panned out, and it did come back bogus. And, there's nothing on our account that would be, compromised due to that. So It was just our way of just figuring out what to do. But, you know, just went to the bank just 15 minutes ago and said, how do we check something before we deposit it if it is something bogus like this? And just, you know, because you're out there with the great nonprofits.com, you know, you could be found by anybody and say, well, this looks like an interesting and legitimate not-for-profit to donate to. So we just thought, well, maybe that was the case with this other check. And we just kind of put two and two together that they were probably part of the whole process trying to get money back.
Yeah. Is cashing the check, they went ahead and cashed the check, but they obviously didn't try to spend any money first. Is that the best way to do it, Tiffany?
That's smart that you recognized all of those signs as you deposited a check. My only concern is depositing that check if you were charged a bounce check fee that cost you money.
Oh, so that could happen.
That could happen depending on what type of protections you have on your account. So it may be a nominal fee, but if you're going to deposit that check, you know what your account fees are going to be and have that conversation with your relationship banker at the bank first. If you think it is a fake check, have the fraud department take a peek at it. You know, the teller can go to somebody else, and most, mm-hmm. if not all, banks do have that fraud department where they could dig into it a little bit deeper before they let you deposit that check, only for it to bounce and you get charged a fee for bouncing.
Joe called to ask if you could, you couldn't stay with us, but could you go over how the check scam benefits the scammer? How do they get money?
So what happens is they send you this check, and a lot of times it's an overage. So in nice round numbers, you're promised a check for $2,000, you're sent $4,000, and the scammer asks you to wire or send gift cards back for the overage amount. That's how they typically work. Now, they're usually not just sent for the amount to deposit. There's usually a follow-up to that.
Okay. Tom emailed, he was supposed to receive a check from the state, probably from tax rebate or something, but it was cashed by somebody else. But they did not sign the back of the check. Also, he was supposed to receive a check from the IRS that was sent out over a month ago, but he didn't receive it. What can he do to alleviate these problems?
I would defer to your financial institution why it was allowed to be deposited. And to your accountant who's doing your taxes for you, why isn't it coming to you? Those are bigger questions. You can always have direct deposit where you're not getting that check and it's going directly to your account.
There's tomorrow, we've got a show on Medicare coming up, and I just, we've got running out of time here a little bit, but there's some open enrollment is tomorrow. Anything to worry about in the way of scams there?
Scammers have taken advantage of the open enrollment cons as soon as the ACA rolled out many years ago. And they want you to visit their healthcare site and not the official healthcare site. And when you're looking at enrolling for Medicare, it's Medicare.gov. If you're looking to enroll in the standard healthcare plan coming up November 1, that's healthcare.gov. So you may receive a phone call out of the blue telling you that it's a representative from the marketplace who can help you select a plan. And meanwhile, they send you a link that leads you to a bogus site instead of the official website. Keep in mind that nobody from the government is going to reach out to you unsolicited. They do have advocates to help you, but first you have to reach out to them.
Yeah, they're not going to be sending you an email.
Nor calling you.
No,
or texting you.
Nor will they call or text you. Well, Eric, just in the last here, you were really up on top of things, but still, any advice to other folks who are in the nonprofit business in the last minute?
Yeah, absolutely. Just Yeah, you bet. Just be vigilant. I think some of these scammers may try to take advantage of nonprofits just simply because we don't have a huge accounting department. We don't have staff that maybe work on these types of things every day. It might just be a few people, or it might just be a few people that aren't getting paid or just volunteers for these organizations. So it's just important to stay vigilant and really have those policies and procedures in place to make sure that you identify what's coming through to the organization. And while we're grateful for each and every dollar that we raise and that donors reach out to us with, just being sure that we're minding our own P's and Q's on our end and making sure that we're doing our due diligence so that no one runs into this issue again.
What's your website, by the way?
Sure. LiteracyGreenBay.org for all the info on our services.
LiteracyGreenBay.org. And the Better Business Bureau website is?
BBB.org. Our charity handle is Give.org.
BBB.org or give?
Give.org is the charity handle where you can look up the charities that meet our 20 standards of accountability.
Tiffany, Eric, thank you both so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Eric Sponholz, Executive Director of Literacy Green Bay. Tiffany Bernard Schultz is the Better Business Bureau Southwest Wisconsin Regional Director. And thank you for listening, and a big thanks to our producers, Clara Neiper, Joel Padnott, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mehler for WPR News.